What drives you? What does it mean to drive you up a tree? How could somebody's behavior possibly affect you?
Well, when I hear or see her do it, I just want to scream and stop it.
Well, why?
I don't know.
Well, think about it. What you perceive in her is acting. And that's what you are guilty of. And that's why it drives you up a tree. You're always acting, trying to gain somebody's approval and attention. And that's what drives you up a tree. Because you see it in her and you're doubly guilty of the same thing. And it's time for it to stop. There's something in you that still requires approval, still requires ongoing affirmation of worth, and praise God that is the angel that can roll away the stone from that grave. Well, you know, now you say okay and your leg starts to move.
Well, I feel like if I stop acting, all I will ever do is interrupt, bitch, complain, and moan. That's
good.
Because that's all I ever fucking do.
Good, do it.
Okay, all right, well, I won't.
Okay. Scream and yell, holler. What do you mean interrupt? That means like that. If you interrupt, it means you think you can waste time, which is another issue. And you know you're guilty of that one. You can't. There's no such thing as waste in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You know, I'm not. I'm yelling at you for you to be free.
Yeah.
I think you maybe half know.
No, I do know that because I'm tired of the last 3 or 4 or 5 days since Pete and I talked the other night here in the hall, I think it was Sunday or Saturday or something like that, I've come to the realization that I can't keep it up much longer. I can't keeping my mouth shut, which is what I do. I keep my mouth shut. And I can't do it much longer. I mean, there just isn't enough energy left to keep keeping my mouth shut.
Why do you want to keep your mouth shut?
Because I figure that's the easiest way. And I'm finding out it's not the easiest way, but it always has been.
You know what keeping your mouth shut...
If I keep my mouth shut, I won't get hit in the face.
Do you know what keeping your mouth shut means? You're denying Christ.
Well, yeah.
You're denying Him before men. And if you deny Him before men, He'll deny you before the Father. That's what keeping your mouth shut means.
Amen. Because He's the one bitching and He's the one interrupting.
We're gonna get after you tonight. I've been nice too long.
Nice?
What?
If you think he was nice before.
If he wants to send you any cards, you better be nice to us before you go.
This is the last time.
Now, Harry, I want you to feel something. This is serious. I want you to feel that there's this Japanese paper wall that's right here. And then the other side of it is total freedom, total explosion, total expression, total personality, total joy. All it takes is to walk through that fucking paper. And you'll find that that thing which is those idiosyncrasies about that have drive you up a tree will become that which you find is most precious in her. Now, last time we met, there was some, you know, it was good stuff. It was about if you're judging somebody, it means you owe them you feel like, you know, it's kind of intellectual stuff, right? You can talk about intellectual stuff, and you can see things differently, and you can sort of spiritually jack off for a while. We're not going to do that tonight.
Get down.
Okay.
What are you laughing at?
Where was that bar?
I'm not laughing. I felt like I was just putting on my helmet. That was the feeling I got. It's like,
oh, wow.
all men off deck.
I wonder if it's fortuitous that you're directly in front of me.
Probably.
His hair is going to be going.
But you'll get a nice even pan.
One other thing. I know this is true. I mean, I know this is true for a lot of reasons. I know what you're saying is true. For several days now, I found myself trying to screw up enough courage to say, I don't know why, but I'm starting to get bored with coming to Bible study. I'm starting to get bored with being at Bible study. I'm starting to not want to be here. And I remember when John Bloom said that. And I mean, it's like, I don't want to say that because I know there's only one reason I can be bored at Bible study, and that's because I'm comfortable. But that's what's been, I mean, I know you're right.
Or it's time for you to teach.
No, we're not going to make the same mistake twice.
We have 10 more years.
Nine.
Now, let's go to Romans 2.
I don't have a Bible. What happened to the Bible this Bible?
This is what we need, a Jew.
Tell me one thing.
You got one.
You know, he's legally a Jew?
I know.
Under the law?
No.
His mother was a Jew.
That's what makes you legally a Jew.
I'm legally a, what is it? A Kaiser?
Kaiser.
Kaiser.
You didn't tell your mother about Kaisers, did you?
I'm still living at home, aren't I?
And you're marrying a Shiksa.
A what?
A Shiksa.
Romans?
No, she's marrying a Mensch.
Yeah. What's a Mensch? $35.
Okay, we remember we studied about...
You break.
What it meant to judge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, the problem with a group, see, I mean...
Judge City.
What, no. The problem with having a group of people that start hanging around is that you can't fake it anymore, right? I mean, we could go to church once or twice a week,
smile a lot,
and put on our nice clothes, and you have no idea what people think of you, and you certainly aren't going to say what you think of them. Every once in a while you might say some snide remark.
But they're closed.
But fundamentally, it's an arena of shrouds, spiritual shrouds. You understand? Because you're just present. But when you start the process that we've seen is that which is vital for that which is God, then there has to be this thing that happens, and it's called a minion. You have to be at least 10, and then more than 20, and all that. And that's why Christ only had 12 disciples. Because the process of that, you know, he only had 12 disciples because that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, that's bullshit. If he wanted to represent the 12 tribes of Israel, he could have had 144, he could have had any multiple of 12. But he had 12 because that was the ideal number for that group of personalities, that they might learn to lay down their lives one for another. Because everything else is a lie. And you can't get by with acting. I mean, you know, Lee can sense now because she knows Harry. If she'd only met Harry once a week, then she wouldn't be able to sense, because he could have his nice clothes on and stuff and he could smile a lot. But she can sense if he's doing something, even if he doesn't say anything, right? Well, everybody can. Okay? Well, that's wonderful. We think it's terrible, rotten. We think it's terrible. But God says, hallelujah, and the angels sing. Because now, with that process, we can begin to be of value to God. Because you just cannot get by with it any longer, right? You have some idiot like me hollering at you if you act. I don't holler at you every time I feel like it.
That's how you're making it.
The people say, yeah.
What's that?
It just occurred to me how silly it is that we would be afraid of you yelling at us.
Yeah, it's like, what would happen? Oh, we should have already known. Yeah.
I think like that's the problem.
It's me.
Okay, verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, or woman, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Now that's what that one we can't believe, see, because we think the goodness of God leads us to anything else.
Sex and money.
But the goodness of God leads us to repentance. So the only thing that can bring you to repentance is the feeling bad. You understand?
The goodness of God is feeling bad.
The goodness of God leads you to repentance.
Amen.
So today I was...
Well, I'm just trying to get this straight in my mind.
That
there's
a bumper sticker.
What, just getting up at
8
again?
Paul said it, not anything.
But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, you see, you find out over time that it's far easier to speak it when you feel it. Because what you do if you don't is, what are you doing? You're laying up for yourself wrath.
Usually kind of miserable, too.
Huh?
Usually kind of miserable the whole time.
Yeah, right.
It's like suffocating.
Okay, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now, you don't want to hear that. I mean, maybe some of you do. Yeah. But I don't want God to render to me according to my deeds.
Amen. You don't want a call.
What I want him to do is to render to me according to the deeds of Jesus Christ. Okay, but it's so simple, if you can see with clarity, that if I keep to myself or try to save myself or try to save my ass from any stimulus, that I am rendering to myself, and if I render to myself in the slightest point, I'm subject to all of self.
Amen.
You understand that? So that it's either total freedom or total bondage. God doesn't give a hoot about anything in the middle. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking about the implications of that. You know, if I didn't cover one bit, didn't render to myself at all, I was just thinking, that's when the shit flies, really flies.
Well, but it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that's revealed in the process. It's not worthy to be compared to the joy. It's not worthy to be compared to anything. That's in a different, it's a whole different world.
Yeah. I think that's the weird thing tonight, I'm starting to see stuff through your eyes, sort of.
Yeah. Okay. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing, now well-doing here is defined very simply. Well-doing in the first place, it should be better translated as abiding, but to abide in well-doing is to abide in prophesying. We'll see that very clearly in a minute. It's just bubbling forth whatever is there. That's the definition of abiding in well-doing. Now that's the opposite definition of anybody in the church. And the church shall define well-doing by their definition of what it means to do good. So we got to go save somebody or something.
Go save somebody.
Okay. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Now, eternal life isn't sometime in the future. It's now. It's having your place of residence in the New Jerusalem where boredom, where strife, where any of those things are impossible. They will jump off you as they call Reagan the Teflon man. Well, you'll be the stealth man. It can't touch you because you are hid with God in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
You understand that? And God will, I mean, there's no separation. Separation is impossible. But what happens if you come back to self? What happens if you go back into self and protect your eyes? But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. From God's standpoint, the doing evil is the doing of iniquity, which is the concern with self. Doesn't matter how righteous your concern with self is. It's iniquity. And that process, you're made subject to do that. That process is called vanity. Because it's fruitless. It's without results. But you're subject to it. Why? Because you were made subject to vanity, not willingly. You didn't decide to. You can, oh my God, I'm not going to be vain anymore. And vain doesn't mean, oh, look at me. Vain means to be concerned with self in any way. You're subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. In the hope of what? In the hope of that tension caused by your propensity to vanity and his propensity for self-expression, that creative tension will create the perfected bride. That's why time and space exists. And every time you try to protect yourself, which you will do, you then are in the antithesis of the plan of God. And something will happen. The longer it's there, pretty soon the Third World War breaks out. Armageddon takes place in this vessel.
This is another closed loop, like I talked about, that when you judge, that means you're guilty of it, and you're subjected to vanity so that the seed can... It just amazes me how it's all like that.
It's all.
Everything that can happen.
Everything.
Mold you into it.
Okay, now, hear this. But it's tribulation and anguish upon the soul. Isn't that what happens? Definitely. That doeth that evil of the Jew first.
Yeah. Hits me first.
The fucking Jew.
I'm the first one here to get rolled.
And also of the Gentile. Now, why in the hell does he keep saying of the Jew first? And what does the Jew mean?
It's religion.
Let's look at some stuff.
Don't forget that question, though, because that.
Let's go to Luke 12.
In the courtroom.
I want to give you a new definition of the Jew. Okay?
Okay.
It's the same as the one I've given you before, but it's a different look at it. The Jew, by definition, is the one who is entrusted with the oracle of God. See, that's the that's how Abraham became a Jew in the spirit, because he was entrusted with the word of God. Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can be entrusted and screw up. That's the reason the Jew is the chosen people, because he was the people that was entrusted with the primal revelation, the one truth. All peoples had that same truth, but the Jew became the tribe by which that truth was protected. There's no glory in it, except that's the way it worked out. Now, if I am speaking to you the words of life, then you become the Jew.
That's why the tribulation and anguish and judgment must begin first with the Jew and then the Gentile. Do you understand?
Yeah, we're just, it's just a chain.
That's right. It's the one that's entrusted with the oracle of God.
It's like you were the Jew first, yes. We were the Gentiles.
Right. Now you are the Jew.
What does that make you?
Makes me
a Jew.
A worker together.
Fellow Jew.
A spiritual Jew, whose circumcision is not of the flesh, but of the heart. And by definition, then, his praise is no longer of men, but of God. Huh?
Yeah, what's your fixation with
that? Well, I was going to be... Yeah. Luke 12, verse 41. Luke 12, verse 41. Well, let's start in verse 31. No, I didn't. Let's start in 22. I like 22. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life.
I'm ridiculous.
What?
It's ridiculous. People always argue about that verse.
What do they say?
They say, but don't you take thought for your life? Can I say?
Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. For the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was arrayed not like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all those things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And there's all kinds of stuff. But then we're going to go, let's start in verse 42. The Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in at a day, and when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. Now, what does that have to do with the Jew and the Gentile? Well, the Jew is the one to whom much has been committed, and to you much has been committed.
Well, was it? This part, and to whom men have committed much.
Well, he's just saying this is the same as it is in the spirit. If you're, you know, if you're a millionaire, you have all kinds of responsibilities. Now, let's go to Amos. Chapter 3.
Thank you.
Hear the word of the Lord. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you. All of you. Understand? This is God speaking to you. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore will I punish you for all your iniquities. And what does that mean? He's saying, then, this next, he defines it. He says, can two walk together except they be agreed? What is he saying? He's saying God desires that Israel walk with him. And therefore, your function in life is to be of the same mind as God. That you look at stimulus, that you look at life in the same way God looks. That's what it means to confess. You understand? Confess, the word technically means to say the same thing. So, when you know, it's confess. It's confession is something that Babylon has done the same way they've done with repentance and everything else. Amen. You know, some stupid thing. But from spiritually, confess means to say the same thing as God. Well, nobody can do that. Well, you're in the wrong business, friend. That's your only purpose. So that you can look at stimulus and look at life and say the same thing that God would say. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Anything other than that is iniquity. You understand?
This is wild, Ellie.
How can two walk together except they be agreed? And this is what John said. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then have you fellowship one with another. But if you walk in the world as the vanity of your mind, then fellowship with one another is impossible and fellowship with God is impossible. You have big time requirements laid on you. But fortunately, you have big time efficacy laid on you also. There is nothing that God can ask of you that he hasn't enabled you. There is only the hardness of your heart and the fear of the faces of men that keep the revelation from being outwardly manifested and openly seen. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Can you believe that you might as well go put a gun to your head if you don't believe that you can walk and be agreed and confess the same thing that God? Okay, let's continue. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? You understand what that means?
No.
Will a young lion cry out of his den if he had taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where there is no gin, where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? God is just describing vanity. But he is saying, he's asking the rhetorical question, and he's saying, this is not the case. Then he says, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? And a good example of that was today, at 1 o'clock when the horns blew all over the city. You know, and everybody at some point thought, my God, is this a nuclear attack? Well, amplify that 10,000 times. In walled cities, when a trumpet blew a particular sound, it meant they were under siege, they were under attack. Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now, the lion hath roared. Who shall not be afraid? And Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? Do you have a feeling what I'm talking about? Okay, let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 4, verse 5. Now let's go to verse 1. This is better yet. This is good stuff. Peter knew what he was talking about. I bet he really likes me to give him that.
Gives him a sense of worth.
That's called judgmental praise. It sucks.
What's up there in heaven right now?
It encourages him to continue in that line.
Now that's like going to some great musician and say, your music is just great.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you dumb fuck, what do you know about it?
You're so good.
Yeah,
or I would stop playing and give it to say that.
Yeah, but what you should say is, your music has given me great pleasure. That's something that he can appreciate. But judgmental praise is you're putting your soul, that's like I just did with Peter. Forgive me, Peter.
Reading your book down there.
All right.
Peter, I really enjoyed your book.
Dear Peter.
Peter,
Peter, I know what you mean about Paul.
His words are hard to understand.
His words are hard to understand.
He's weird.
Paul's weird.
We don't like those Jews either. Gentiles, whatever you didn't like.
One of those.
Whatever you didn't like, I agree with you.
You know, you know, one you were talking about at that time.
Yeah, and Paul said you were wrong. No bullshit. I agree with you.
Okay.
Remember that one place, you know, what he said?
For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Now here's the biggie. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin.
That's bizarre.
What does that mean?
I'm trying to figure that out. Does that mean...
Yeah. What?
That if you're suffering, you're not sinning? Or does that mean...
It seems like suffering is heaven. I don't know.
It's like if you suffer, then you turn from...
He that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin.
You get beat about the head and shoulders till you stop sinning?
So you figure out it's worthless? Flesh is worthless?
Go to Romans 6.
Are we close? Warm?
Are we warm?
Huh? We're gonna just keep your finger there. Romans 6, I'm gonna answer your question.
Thank you.
Heard you say you're skipping on.
I'm just starting to say that.
Skipping our little ribbon to work out.
Plus, I'm living in total fear of verse 11 in Romans 2. Because that's where I thought you were gonna start tonight.
Okay, I want you to read
Romans 2.
6.
Romans 6. Verse 6 and 7. Rick, read it out loud.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin.
Okay. Now what does it mean to suffer in the flesh? What's the ultimate, the end, the result of the suffering? The cross.
Okay.
He that is dead is freed from sin. Now, those things which the world calls sin, that pressures, those putting, those coming, That's simply God. You see it as the thing that's molding you in the same way that you see everything in time and space as just the chastisement of the Father. Mm. This, you know, what we studied last night, which I don't want to go over again, but that which you thought was there to reveal that, you know, something that you were going through, you thought it was there to reveal that there was something wrong with you or you were doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. God transforms it in a second. In a New York second, to be that experience by which you can share joy with someone else. Mm-hmm. And so your eye, the trick isn't, again, the trick isn't, oh, what am I going to do? The trick is the subject of the sentence. Okay, do you understand now what it means? He that has suffered has ceased from sin? Okay, continuing. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the desires or lusts of men, but to the will of God. Now, what does that mean? That's not a moral option, that's an eternal fact. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Self-seeking. Self-protection. When we walked in lasciviousness, desires, excesses of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Now, I mean, they're not talking about going out and getting drunk. They're talking about value systems. You can't partake of the same value systems. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Interesting scripture.
Is that saying what I think it's saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's really wild.
What do you think it's saying?
Well, I think that he's preaching to people outside of space and time, isn't he?
That's what it says. Yeah. Chapter 3, verse 19, which you can...
Five mean? Wow. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? And
by what thing are you going to justify yourself? By what? You know, there's no justification. Because see, the tie-in is verse 4. They're saying they're speaking evil of you, but who shall give account to him? It doesn't matter what the, you know. Anyway, we're not where we want to be yet. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. And watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. I love that one. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
I never knew that was in the Bible. You always said that.
That's pretty heavy.
Right. You're speaking the word. Okay. Sitting around and you just got to say something.
You're speaking.
Okay, I'm going to make up something to be as the oracle of God. That'll never come because he didn't come to whisper shit.
Right.
You just have to be saying stuff.
That's right.
We'll remember that.
It's whatever you speak. That's why he said, again, remember the secret that Jesus knew. Without him, he could do nothing. His thoughts were the thoughts of the Father. His words were the words of the Father. His deeds were the deeds of the Father. There was no separation. Now, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you continually, and you have overcome the evil one. You no longer see the lie of separation. Now, whatsoever you speak, it says the oracles of God. Whatsoever you think, it says the thoughts of God.
That's John.
Grasp that. Yeah. Get a hold of that. And then sit around and judge yourself. Oh shit, I can't say that.
That's somebody else.
That's not polite. That'll hurt
you. Well, just think of what you're doing when you say that. You are acting as God's counselor.
Don't say that, God.
No, I've heard you say that that's not wise.
That's not smart.
If someone once said that's not smart.
You know, that's the first time I've understood acting as God's counselor as an internal transaction.
That's right.
That's why you better confess rather than just act as his counselor.
God doesn't like counselors. God likes buddies, pals. He wants people to
target me.
Take risks.
Well, don't do it anymore. I mean, you don't have to. That's the freedom.
See, that's also what it's like.
Every time you second-guess yourself, you're acting as God's counsel.
Oppressing me in my relationship with September.
Of course.
I'm utterly concerned about what I say.
Yeah.
So I edit, and I try to be reasonable and so forth and so on. So after a while, I just get real fucked up because I just want to explode.
Yeah.
Want to ring your own neck?
See, it has nothing to do with her.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Are you hearing this, folks? Mm-hmm. That's good stuff.
Yeah, this is good.
It's great.
All right. If any man speak... I mean, that pretty much covers it. Anytime you open your mouth, see that you're speaking as the oracles of God. Well, that doesn't mean... Like Larry. Larry used to be so funny. Larry would pray and speak in King James. You can't believe how religious he was. Huh?
You gotta watch somebody.
I want to hit him. I used to make fun of him.
That's hilarious. I never heard him do that.
Oh, he doesn't. He wouldn't dare now.
I'm gonna ask him to just for old time's sake.
You ask him to pray sometime like he used to.
He'll hit me.
He may pop you.
Yeah, he'd love that.
Ask him about when he was still going to the Baptist church and when he was coming in the group. And he got caught smoking
in
the elders of his church. But he didn't get caught. I mean, they came in and immediately put the cigarette up. Almost burned himself up.
That's hilarious.
He lies.
Okay. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
Why? This may sound like a stupid question, but why plural?
Hmm?
Right.
The words.
Why plural?
The words.
Oh, okay.
More than one, words.
Okay.
If any man minister, now minister means just serve, meet need, be in business. Do you know what the word business comes from? It comes from the Greek word to meet need. Well, I can. I mean, it doesn't matter with you. But that's the basis of all business. Meet need. That's what so the word minister and business are the same concept.
Huh.
Servant, meet need. If any man minister, let him do it as of the efficacy which God giveth. That means, do you understand what that means? That means just be him. It doesn't mean try to... You understand that? He's just saying,
Yeah, he's the power anyway.
Yeah, just be it. You don't have to worry about it. Just be. And God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, in the midst of all that, sounds like really neat stuff.
Shit.
Yeah.
Okay, then it says the next clause. It's the same thing. And it talks about all kinds of neat stuff in Hebrews, and then it starts talking about being chastised. Right?
You had to bring that up.
Well, but chastising isn't bad. Again, punishment is bad.
That's what happens to them.
It's impossible for you to be punished from now on. It's impossible for any evil to befall you from now on. The only thing that can befall you is the chastisement of the Father, and that is always and ever for your benefit.
Amen.
There is no negative feeling that can befall you. that isn't chastisement of the Father for your benefit, that you might see him, and as you see him, you shall be like him. Do you understand?
Jackie was being chastised last night.
Listen, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Now, what's a fiery trial? Now, don't say it.
I thought about it.
Don't say it. A fiery trial is anything that you think is negative. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. Any emotion or any situation or any stimulus that comes into your world, your habitation, the bounds of your habitation that God has established, that you perceive as negative, is suffering. Chastisement. You got to hear that. Do you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Any. It's never to teach you anything except that all is of God. The moment you see the negative is from the Father, then the purpose of that negative is instantly gone away. It doesn't, because it's no longer needed. When you can see that your boredom is of God, directed by the will of God, that you might be perfected in his image, it's gone.
Wow. So simple.
You hear this?
As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. This stuff isn't optional. This isn't religious. This isn't stuff that, you know, this is stuff, this is the way the world works. Okay, we haven't... Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing had happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. Well, how in the hell can that be?
If you're suffering, it's his.
It's his suffering.
Amen.
You are partakers of Christ's suffering. You're not bored. Christ is bored. Command your soul to rest. Read the Psalms. Understand it. All right, let me continue. Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall reveal, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Because everybody else is going to say, wait, what do you mean? That, you call that Christian? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer. Now, what does that mean? Or as a busybody in other man's matters. He's just putting some stuff in there. Because the next verse clarifies it. He said, yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now comes the part that you're not going to like. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, to the Jew first, then the Gentile. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, or abiding, as unto a faithful Creator. Now, let judgment first begin at the house of God, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. To whom much has been given, much shall be required. Now let's go back to Romans 2. Do you understand all that was to explain what it means to the Jew first and the Gentile? You understand that? Okay, so we got tribulation,
verse 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. Now, let's talk about this.
Let me stop for a second. I gotta stop for a second. About 10 minutes, five to 10 minutes ago, I went off on a head trip. And the head trip is, what do you mean my smoking drives you up a wall?
Oh, I'm amazed that would affect you now. But you've already seen that it does. I mean, when we were sitting in the restaurant, you saw how my face puffs up and my eyes get red.
So I move away.
It burns my skin.
Which is why I move away from you.
Yeah, but...
I mean, you, I don't smoke you around see, you. You come around me when I'm smoking.
I'm not saying you should change, Harry. I'm saying that you have made an objection to a form of behavior that I have. And all I'm telling you is that if you get into approval issues and let me change this behavior, we all try to get each other to adjust our behavior. It's an endless turf war. Nobody's ever going to measure up. Do you see how it'll never be finished? The only thing that's complete is forgiveness.
What you were saying to him, and you know, he was covering, he was acting, and yet you said he's smoking drives you crazy, but you
didn't say it.
You were, you know, he didn't say what was there. And you accused him of judging you, and let's stop all this.
I don't really have a judgment about it.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it's anything you said personally, but the whole exchange, you know,
Yeah, the idea isn't that, again, I mean, we've tried, you can try if you want to. You can try to, okay, well, I'll try to do better, I'll try to change or something, but that's not the issue. The issue is, you know, the lion roared. Who can but prophesy? And the prophecy is the fact that whatsoever stimulus is on you at any moment isn't to be decided whether or not, well, I said this before and nothing happened, or the prophecy on you at any given moment, the what's in you at any given moment must be bubbled forth.
And you said you don't hear me bitching about it all the time, but I mean, if you want to, you should bitch about it all the time if that's what's there.
Yeah, yeah. And if it's under the surface, you're not saying anything, it's, you know, there's no righteousness there for you.
Well, it'll become leaven, and that'll cause the whole process, but...
Actually, you know, the truth is, I can always leave the room. I mean, it doesn't bother me to the point where I think about saying anything.
Well,
it's
I'm
not
just,
that
I know,
I'm avoiding saying anything, it doesn't come up that way.
Well, I don't want to get into putting you on a trip, but I'm just saying whatsoever the issue is in your mind. I dredge things up, but when the prophesying means that you bubble forth based on the stimulus that's there at the time. And in that bubbling forth, in the way Jews made wine, there were seven lees, and this is talked about in Jeremiah, by the way. And they were like seven vats. And each, the wine would start to ferment. And that's what the word prophecy is. Prophesy. It's the same. It's the word which means the wine fermenting or bubbling up. And the wine would ferment up, and then they'd come and get all kinds of the waste products on the surface. And they didn't. They didn't do anything with the waste products. They just went to Gehenna. And so all of the stuff that comes up, you're prophesying. Isn't you don't give it any breath. It comes up, and then they take a ladle and they scrape it off, and then the wine is moved into the next lee, and then blah, 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 and they scrape it off, and it does that seven times. And Jeremiah's, it just comes down harder than a nuclear bomb on anyone who rests in their lees. Because the resting is the idea that they don't prophesy. They, you know, they try to say, okay, now this is the way I should be. Well, you can't say how you should be. You're not your own business. You've been bought with a price. You're denying the Lord that bought you when you try to circumcise your own actions. Forget this thing about, well, I did. You are bought with a price. It doesn't matter if they think you're crazy. You must say what's there when the stimulus is there. That is the end result of the gospel of God. And you must believe and see, no matter what the evidence indicates, that you are speaking as the oracles of God. If any man speak, you can't prophesy unless you speak. Well, you can't sit there and second guess yourself and say, well, is this of God or is this not of God? Then you're double-minded. You're unstable in all your ways. God would take us to heights you haven't even dreamed of yet. But you first must get rid of the propensity to second-guess yourself. Every single time you second-guess yourself, you're acting as the counselor of God. That's really dumb. I mean, I want you to imagine, how many years I've spoken 2 hours a night or more? If I didn't believe, if I second-guessed myself in what I spoke.
Talk about bored.
Yeah. We were tired.
I mean, we'd be bored.
Well, you'd be bored to death.
Yeah. But you'd say a lot of nice things.
I mean, let it out. Speaking to all of you. I guarantee you something. Once you begin to let it out, whatever is there, then that becomes, oh my God, this is pretty neat. You know, that's why I was successful on the radio, because no one could believe the shit I said on the radio. I didn't think about it. I just let it out. That's all you have to do. And pretty soon, it's like, well, that's all you do. Then pretty soon, it's just second nature.
Nothing's more exciting than surprises and spontaneity.
Oh, God. Nothing's more boring than second guessing and holding in and protecting your ass.
Burn up a lot of calories in that particular pursuit.
That mood.
Well,
it's a butt.
You don't have to do that anymore.
Huh?
Don't burn up those calories.
Then
you get back.
Just, I mean.
Okay. I'm tired of talking. Anybody have anything else?
Among other things, I just needed to know that it was all right to interrupt something important like Bible study for something stupid like
prophesying.
Something as important as Bible study.
I'm being sarcastic.
Good.
He's being
an Good thing.
The thing that was going on was called something in me that feels like rage. I mean, the whole exchange of, I heard last night when he said that about stop being childish, and, but that I think what really bothers me is something he said about, stop judging me. And he had said what was there. Mm-hmm. And that had exposed himself. And it's got something to do with being judged, or prophecy being confused, or with judgment. And when it happens in here, it really goes in.
Judgment is
prophecy. Yeah, but yeah, I know. But I mean, I could sit here in the name of prophecy condemn everyone.
Oh yeah.
But the point of it is that doesn't matter either, because that, I mean, it's out, and it will be, it's out into the fire, and that which will come out of the fire will last. That which gets burned up will get burned up. I mean, so you don't have to worry. I mean, even if what you're prophesying, if somebody says, oh, you're just judging, well, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, if it were on you to sit here and condemn everybody in the room, you would do it.
Well, it's like, yeah. I've done that before.
Right, wrong, I mean, there is no right, wrong.
Right, it's like, yeah, but it doesn't, but, you know, and as that fire burns hotter and hotter, then we are knit together in love in a mystery. And so don't worry about it. I mean, I'll say it 1,000 times, you're not your own business.
Okay, and there's one more level of that. It was just a picture of, I don't mind being persecuted in the world, but I don't want to be persecuted for the wrong thing. my friends think I go to church, no matter, and that doesn't bother me, but yet, beyond that, people that have no idea what we're about.
I mean, let me read you something.
They're calling her a Baptist.
Really? That's a real insult.
I mean, we deserve to be.
Yeah, tell me I'm going to a cult.
Well, I think, what's the scripture? Is a small thing that I be judged of you? Or,
listen. You heard me last night talk on this one, but I'll say it again. In all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness in the right hand and the left. That's all good stuff up there. Now, by honor or dishonor, by evil report or good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. You know, the idea of wanting to be persecuted for the right thing is really sick.
I know, that's not
how it is. That's right. She said, that's why I held it in for an hour.
Take it, big guy.